Trusting that all of you have this sheet on attitudes when you came in the door over here, which you will not get to now, put it up, just don't worry about it, I just hope that you have it, okay? Let's begin with a quote. The quote is C. Clement Stone, founder and editor for many years of Success Magazine, in which he says there is little difference in any one of us, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it is negative or positive. Now, that's you don't have that quote in any of your material, but you heard me and you've got it memorized already, so let's talk about it just a little bit. He says there is very little difference in any one of us. I hope you will believe that to be true because it is true. See, we tend to look through the binoculars at other people and see them bigger than life. Other people are more beautiful, more talented, more capable, more everything than we are, perhaps. And we turn the binoculars around and look at ourselves and see ourselves as grasshoppers. Now, some of us have developed some things in our lives that others haven't, but others have developed things that we haven't. You see, all of us are ignorant. Even the PhDs are ignorant in some areas of life. We're knowledgeable in some areas. We're skillful in some areas. And there are other areas that we're just totally out of it. So that whenever you put it all together and add it up and sum total it down here, take everybody in the room and do the same thing, you'd find that we come out with just about the same figure. We're equal. And if we can come to see that and to believe that and to realize that, it doesn't make any difference if somebody is a governor, president of a company, president of the United States. They're just a human being as you and I are. And I'm equal with them. They're equal with me. And when you believe it and you feel it and you think that way, that gives you the humility we talked about earlier that makes it possible for you to be able to relax without feeling that you have to prove yourself because you either feel inferior or you're trying to act as if you're better than you really are. Okay, there is very little difference in any one of us. But that little difference, he says, makes a big difference. He says the little difference is attitude, but the big difference is whether it is negative or positive. That's the key. The big difference in your life boils down to one single factor, and that's your attitude. It is not what happens to you that makes you or breaks you. It's the attitude you take toward it that makes the difference. That would be worth memorizing. It is not what happens to you that makes you or breaks you. It's the attitude you take toward it. T.S. Eliot expressed it this way, that your thoughts, he says, have more power than kings to compel you. Vast numbers of our society are living in prison every day. They're in slavery, bondage every day, as much as anybody who lives behind bars. The prison they live in is the prison of their own thoughts, their own doubts, their own fears, their own feelings, their own negativism, their own poison that dominates them and controls them and limits them. It's a prison you live in, and you can be freed from the prison. That's good news. And so the real important difference in any one of us is whether we are negative or whether we're positive. We need to realize that attitude is the master key to life, and positive thinking is the single most important thing to help you to get whatever you want. It's estimated that 85% of one's success is dependent upon his attitude even more than skills. Obviously, skills are important. Obviously, education is important, but 85% attitude. So whether you're slave or whether you're free depends not on where you are, nor your circumstances, but your attitude, how you think. The poet has said, two men look through prison bars. One sees mud, the other stars. What makes the difference? Attitude, that's all. So when you're looking at life, if you see mud or you see stars, it is all dependent upon your attitude. And a lot of people, as you know, all they see is mud. And others see the stars. And if you were to decide, for example, that you wanted to improve the quality of your life, and you wanted to take control of your life so that you could see the stars, then you can do that. And that's what we're talking about in the series. This statement, negative thinking is the single most destructive force in the world. Negative thinking causes more unhappiness and does more damage than crime and cancer combined. Suppose that we heard on the news that they had found some solution to the cancer problem so that that thing could be totally eliminated. Everybody would rejoice. Marvelous, wonderful. Suppose that the next day we receive word that all crime is totally eliminated. Can you imagine a society? Imagine your society in which there were no police because you didn't need them. No jails because you didn't need them. No locks, no keys. You don't carry around a whole pocket full of keys, you know, to get in your car. Don't need it. Because the only thing that makes it needful in the first place, a negative attitude. See? Negative, it's the way people think that causes that to happen. And so we live in a negative, saturated society. Oftentimes, home life is saturated with negative attitudes and feelings and emotions. Schools are. Jobs are. There was a nurse in Quincy, California, who put together one of the seminars, and she was the nurse for one of the colleges there. And when I went, she took me out to the college to introduce me to some of the professors, and just in their offices and the background situation. And I was just amazed at the cynical, critical, negative attitudes of all of the professors that I met. I said to her, Barbara, I wouldn't want a child of mine sitting under any one of those persons who feels that negative and cynical and critical, because it's got to come through. It feeds right on down. There's no way in the world you can keep it from happening, because your attitude, whether positive or negative, not only affects you, but it feeds out and affects other people around you. This is one of the problems, I'm convinced, in a lot of state schools particularly, in which the professors are negative and critical and cynical. But is it limited to that? Does it ever exist in Christian schools? And do you think it ever exists among preachers? Do you think there are ever preachers that are negative? Oh, forbid the thought, but could it ever be that elders are ever that way? Negative and critical and cynical and against it and so on. Negative thinking is destructive to everything that's important to you. Your happiness, your home, your family, your sexuality, your personal relationships, your potential achievements. I put your sexuality in there for direct intent. Because negative thinking and attitudes is destroying sexual fulfillment. Something that is so beautiful and meaningful and fulfilling, and that which can be so built in dreams and fantasies and expectations, can literally be wiped out by negative attitudes. Counselors encounter it often, in which a husband can no longer really respond to his wife because of a negative attitude. Or a wife is amazed that a husband would expect her to be able to respond sexually, emotionally, romantically, after they've gone through a kind of negative situation, and he expects her to be able to turn the switch on, and all of a sudden she's positive and now she can respond. She can't. That's the way it is in California. And I'm sure that's the way it is all over the country. We would never know, you see, how much is how much destruction occurs in terms of sexual fulfillment over this thing we're talking about right here. So I wanted to mention that especially. Negative attitudes can make you miserable, weak, sick, inadequate, bored, unlikable, fearful, and poor. And if that's not enough, I could list some more. Now, if that's what you want, and we've been talking this morning about what do you want. If that's what you want, believe me, that's the way you can get it. Furthermore, we could say, inevitably so. See? Inevitably so. Corn produces corn after its kind. Negative thoughts, actions, attitudes produce inevitably after its kind. Now, just as negative thinking is creative thinking used destructively. Did you get that? Now, let me back up a little bit because that says a whole lot. You see, when God created us in His image, He created us as creators. God created the world out of nothing. We create our world out of something, but you are a creator. You created the world in which you live, and each person lives in his own world that he's created. What creates your world? Basically and fundamentally, it's your attitude. You mold the world in which you live. Now, if your attitude is negative, you have and are molding a negative world in which you live. Okay? Now then, let's go back to my statement. It says, just as negative thinking is creative thinking used destructively, so positive thinking is creative thinking used constructively. But in order for us to fully appreciate that, I want to show you some things on the chart here, and I promised you that early in the morning and said you really wanted to be back at 3:30 because there's some things here we wanted to share. In the early session, we talked about the fact that the subconscious mind represents 90% of your mind power, estimated, and that you only use 1% of the 10% on a conscious level. So you have this massive 90% that's running and controlling your life, and the monsters of your life reside in the subconscious. And though you decide that this is the direction you want to go, there's something within you, a mighty force that leads you this direction, and you wonder, what's happening? Because I want to go this way. And the answer is, the monsters in your life reside in the subconscious to take you where you have been programmed to go. And shall I say, inevitably so? Okay? All right. Now then, in relation to that, we learned a principle earlier that's very important. How many here now that have not been with us before, previous sessions, okay? The rest of us know it, so we'll just share it with you. It's important for you to say it, to all say it together, about conclusions. See, everybody that's been here before knows it already, and the rest of us are going to learn it. It says what? Conclusions become programs for the subconscious mind to actualize. Now, you see, that's what that sounds like when only two people say it. But when all of you say it, it sounds a little different. Now notice, let's say it, everybody. Ready? Conclusions become programs for the subconscious mind to actualize. One more time, I want you to take it home with you. Ready? Conclusions become programs for the subconscious mind to actualize. That means that whatever you have concluded to be true, it might have been when you're in the third grade or the fifth grade or 12th grade or anywhere, whatever you have concluded to be true becomes a program fed into the subconscious mind that will be actualized into your life inevitably so. Now, once you understand that, now you're in a position to understand some other things that are very vital. And so we have a chart here. You don't have it, so you can give all of your attention to the board here. Notice at the top, we have life's experiences. Life's experiences, both good and bad. You might would like to draw this on some of your paper and take it with you if you like. Notice that that life's experiences flow through an attitude filter. When it comes out on the other side of the attitude filter, it comes out as a conclusion. Okay? But the key to it is right here. And that is, if your attitude is negative, the conclusion is going to be what? Negative. If your attitude is positive, the conclusion is going to be what? Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Okay? All right. If your attitude is negative, then your conclusion is going to be negative. This conclusion that you draw, let's follow the negative, for example, so I can illustrate it, and then we can talk about the positive. You draw the negative conclusion as a result of this negative attitude. You label it based upon your conclusion, and that's going to go then into your what? Where does that conclusion go to? Subconscious mind. Now that it's in the subconscious mind, it now becomes the blueprint that's going to have to be actualized. Notice the letters G-I-G-O, which means garbage in, garbage out. Very simple. Garbage in, garbage out. Let's add one more to it. Inevitably so. Boy, my nickname is going to become inevitably so. I think I use that so much. Okay. It's going to be actualized, but notice that it is actualized in a caused experience. Now, the difference between this experience and this one is the fact that you made this one happen. We make a lot of things happen in our world that we don't know we're making happen. Wives are making husbands, causing husbands to respond and children to respond in certain ways because of their attitude. They may be totally unaware that that's really what's happening. Husbands, children, parents, everybody, all of us. You see, we are influencing one another in our world by the attitudes that we have and the responses of others bouncing off and reflecting from the attitudes that are around us. So we're causing that to happen, and that's a caused experience. Let me now illustrate to you the principle. Let's just take an example. Let's suppose, for example, that a young girl draws the conclusion that she's ugly and she's dumb and that nobody likes her. Pretty easy to draw that conclusion. There's plenty of people to tell her that that's true, right? That she's ugly, she's dumb, nobody likes her. Now, if she draws that conclusion, what is going to have to happen? It's going to have to be actualized into her life. Now, what do we mean by that? What's going to have to happen? She's going to have to make herself ugly, dumb, and unlikable. She may be highly intelligent, but she's going to have to make herself dumb. Is she planning it that way? Not on your life. There is no conscious intent of that. It's just the fact that she's operating on a program that must actualize itself in life. Now look, she then is going to be uglier than she really is, or needs to be. She's going to be dumber than she really needs to be. And she's going to cause people not to like her. And yet, at the time that she's causing people not to like her, she's going to be crying her eyes out because people don't like her. See? With absolutely no idea of what she is causing to happen in her own world. Now notice that two things happen with this caused experience. Number one, and that is confirmation. That means that the conclusion you drew over here has now been verified. She is going to say now, see, I told you nobody liked me. She's going to fail a test and she'll say, see, I told you I was dumb. See? In other words, she now experiences in life that which she concluded to be true, and when she experiences it as a reality, then she can say, I now know it to be true. Now, the second thing that happens besides being confirmed is intensified. That means that she is more convinced now than ever. She's got more evidence now than ever. That means then that she is going to produce the same thing more effectively than she could before. And so she produces it again and becomes more effective, and she digs herself into a rut. And that rut gets deep and dark and disappointing and hopeless. And at the end of that is what we call suicide, because she can very easily draw the conclusion that life is no longer worth living. I am dumb, ugly, nobody likes me, and there's no way out. I had two suicide cases last week. I had to refer one because I couldn't get to it. But the girl that did come talked to me about how empty she felt inside. Her folks constantly tried to correct her and straighten her out, and I mean, they were, you know, providing the needed correction for her, but she got no positive input that says you're valuable, and we love you, and you're important. In the process of trying to exercise the controls that were necessary, and she said to me, Mel, I feel so empty down deep. I feel so worthless down deep. Now then, when she feels that way, see, she can dig herself into deeper and deeper, into greater despair, and as I say, suicides down the road. One of the great concerns of our society today is the great number of teenage suicides. I'm saying to you that it comes as a result of negative conclusions fed into the subconscious mind, actualized into life, confirmed and intensified, until finally that happens, unless they can be turned around. I want to notice one other, I'll not do that because our time is limited. I think that that's sufficient. I have this chart on a little cardboard like so in my back office, and sometimes I'll just say to somebody I'm talking to, just a minute, I want to show you something. I'll go in the back room, bring it out, set it in a chair right in front of them, and I say, I want to show you what's happening to you. Here are the conclusions you've drawn, here's the attitude you've had, and here's what happened to it. It went in the subconscious mind, and now it's actualizing itself into life, and here's what you're experiencing in life. See, what's happened was they were just telling me what they were experiencing, but they didn't know that this is what caused it. And I'm telling them, oh, I've got good news for you. And this is really good news. You see, if I had to stop here and say, this is the situation, that really wouldn't be very good news. It wouldn't be worth my coming to California to tell you about. But it's good news to know that you can change your filter. I'm going to have them made, manufactured. We're going to install them over the country. And different places. Just open up a little place here in the chest, you know, and hook it in, and that'll be your attitude filter. And when your negative attitude gets negative, we just put you in a new one, you know, a positive one, so it'll filter out all of those negatives. What would it be worth? What would it be worth if I could sell you an attitude filter that could be installed and you would become a positive thinker? Ah, wow. But I got better news than that. You can have it and it won't cost you anything. Won't cost you anything. All you have to do is to believe what I'm saying and decide that no more will I walk down the road of negativism that destroys everything that's important to me. I choose to take control of my life and to be a positive person dealing with myself and with life in such a way as to enjoy the quality of life that I choose for myself. This is an exciting chart. Now then, let's look at your attitude. We said that you could change your attitudes. A problem that I encounter that concerns me is that when we talk about negative and positive attitudes, people, you know, will say, amen, you know, I agree with that. I can say, I'm against negative attitudes and I'm for positives, and everybody say, amen. The problem is we don't know what we're talking about. We really don't know what negatives are and positives are. And in the seminar, we go through quite a process to try to develop an awareness of negatives and positives so you can see it in your life. And from the seminars, I've made a list of some 20 items here that you have on your sheet and we have on the chart up here. Maybe you can just look up here, but let's take a look at them. I would like to look at the negatives first and kind of really get those indelibly imprinted so we recognize them, and then we can look on the right-hand side and see the positives. Negative thinking is characterized, first of all, by doubts. One of the most fundamental characteristics of negative thinking is doubt. This is why that our spiritual faith can be undermined so easily. You wonder how that a person's faith that is so vital to him could just deteriorate and collapse on him. His faith in God, his faith in Christ, his faith in the Bible. Do you know that all you have to do to destroy the whole thing is to what if it to death? What do I mean by that? Okay. What if there's not a God? You don't have to have any reason to say what if there's not a God. What if Jesus Christ is not who he claimed to be? I don't have to have any reason to say what if. What if the Bible is really not the revelation of God to man? And I can what if that, what if it? And then I come to a second stage in which I said, well, you know, maybe it's not. It's not what if, but maybe it's not. And then I finally come to a third stage in which I say, well, I just really don't know if it is or not, and I become an agnostic. Vast numbers of our society are agnostics. They don't know if they believe or if they don't believe because they have what if themselves out of everything. Now, an attitude, a negative attitude within itself deteriorates one's faith, it deteriorates love, and I talked about in the 11 o'clock session, you see, and so it's characterized by doubt. Notice also that fears, doubts and fears go together. Negative people have the problem of doubts and fears in a predominant way. Number three, pessimism. Negative attitude tends to look the worst side of it. Thinks the worst and expects the worst. Number 4, looks for faults. That's a good one. I'm going to give you a statement here that really fits in here. A characteristic of negative thinking is this. That is that it focuses in on the faults and filters out the good so that all you have left is the wrong fault. Now, I left part of that out, so let me do it again. It focuses on the fault, filters out the good, intensifies the fault, and all the good is lost. All right, now let's see what we mean by all that. A negative thinker, for example, let's say a wife toward her husband, just as a simple illustration. If she's negative toward her, she turns negative toward her husband. You know what she does? She sees all of his faults. She doesn't see any of his good. She now magnifies his faults greater than they really are, and all of the good is lost. You do the same thing in regard to yourself. You turn negative towards yourself, and you'll see all that's wrong with you. You'll filter out the bad. You filter out the good. You don't even see that at all. You'll focus on the bad and make it worse than it is until you destroy yourself. You poison yourself to death. Now, you can think of that in relation to life. If a young person in a home, for example, turns negative, I like to refer to it as turning sour. Man alive, it's like putting on sunglasses and all they can see is the color that they're looking through in the sunglasses. If a child turns sour at home, his mama can't do anything right, his father can't do anything right, everything's wrong. Let me give you an example. His name is Rocky, 19 years of age, suicidal case. His mother brought him to me for help. The first thing that he said as we began the counseling session, he said, I want you to know that I am a loser. I have always been a loser, and I will always be a loser, and there's not anything you can do about it. How's that for a challenge? 19 years of age. He talked to me about all of the things that was wrong with life and with school. He dropped out of school, mid-high school, somewhere along the line because the teachers were all stupid. He couldn't keep a job. He couldn't keep his car running and, you know, all of those negatives. Anyway, he just went on through his whole process and he told me what was wrong with his father and how he felt about his father. And finally, after I listened to him for quite a while, I said, Rocky, let me ask you this. What is there about your father that you appreciate? Boy, what a question. His eyes dropped to the floor, and he thought, and I knew he wasn't coming up with anything.